I thought it would be interesting to look at the four sources of compassion. Now, this is a very Buddhist orientation. So it said, compassion is said to arise from, number one, experiencing the suffering of sentient beings, including ourselves. Now, this doesn't mean we get all involved, but it means we are open to the fact. So, when you go through life, you're actually exposed to suffering all the time. Have you realized that? But how often do you really notice it? And is the reason you don't notice it because you shut it out? You don't want to see it. Don't want to know what's going on. So straight away, this training requires wisdom as well, where you're open to suffering so that you're not closing yourself down and ignoring. But it doesn't mean that you endlessly identify and become freaked out by it. So it's finding a balanced position. Can you all see that? Because a lot of people, when they start their compassion training, start getting freaked out. Because they think they have to take the burden of the whole world on their shoulders. Can't do that. But you can be open to it. And again, there's an element of realism here. You realize there is suffering. There is suffering around us. And funnily enough, at a certain level it can be liberating, because a lot of us get stuck in self-pity. And if I'm stuck in self-pity, the basic message I'm giving myself and believing is I am worse off than anybody else in the whole universe. And I remember a psychologist friend of mine saying, self-pity is the most vicious emotion. The most harmful people in the world have been motivated by self-pity. Because there is no limit to my revenge. I will never get equal with the world if I've got self-pity. I can wipe out millions of people, but I will still feel there's an imbalance against me. So it's very important to deal with self-pity and recognize it for what it is and let it go. And one of the ways of dealing with that is to be open to the suffering of others and then realizing, good heavens, actually, I'm better off than almost anybody I meet. You'll be amazed how much better off you are if you start doing this exercise. So, but I do emphasize, don't go overboard and start identifying and making yourself thoroughly miserable. Because the misery of the world doesn't increase because you become aware of it. And you don't have to use it as a pretext for increasing your own suffering. So, encourage some wisdom simultaneously. Can you do that? You get the point. So you're just open to what's always been there, so that you get a more realistic understanding.
There's quite a good definition of equanimity that helps me with that, which is a warm engagement with the world without being troubled by it. And that definition helps me because I think about it. So if I really identify with the suffering and then it makes me feel really bad and there's nothing I can do about it, then there's no benefit because there's nothing that can be done about the suffering. And all I'm doing is making myself feel bad about it.
Excellent.
So it's just, where's the benefit? So sometimes I have a little talk to myself and I use that definition.
Yeah.
If I find that, you know, I'm kind of being overwhelmed by suffering that I can't do anything about, I think to myself, well, actually I can't do anything about this and I'm just causing myself lots of suffering.
And that's cognitive intervention.
Yes. Without being troubled.
Yeah, thanks. That's good. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, insight into the Four Noble Truths. Now, as you well know, the Four Noble Truths start with, the Buddha said the nature of samsara is dukkha. He used this very unfortunate word, or at least that's the one that's come down through history, dukkha, which apparently has 15 translations.